Titus chapter 3 from verse 4. Let us stand up for this. Titus chapter 3 from verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts that this text we have read has also become a divine reality. You have saved us. We thank you for that. You have pardoned us. You have given us eternal life. Lord, let us realize that everything you have done has eternal validity, that it is unchangeable. Faithful God, we respect these facts, accept everything as a great gift from your hands, and ask you today, bless us. Bless us and prepare us to sup with you. Have it with us, faithful Lord. Let the fellowship be intimate and true, imbued by your divine love, revealed on Golgotha. We thank you for the two gatherings that lie behind us. Faithful God, thank you. You have spoken to us and worked in us. We thank you for that. Not only will the hours remain unforgettable for us, but we will also carry what you have done with us and take it with us when we come from believing unto seeing. Bless us and strengthen us after spirit, soul, and body. To you be the thanks and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm sure you realize that my voice is no longer the best, but the word of the Lord was just marvelous. And we have time to recover with God's help. Important is that his word is broad, that we believe it and experience it and are blessed. Let us read God's word. Firstly, a few verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Here we read from verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. From verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Up to here, this precious word. Here the Lord already speaks of the giving of his body. Here he indicates that he is the living bread that has come down from heaven. And he refers to the word of the prophet who says, they will all be taught by God. And it was precisely after this divine, deep, and penetrating teaching that many took offense and left him, no longer understood what he was saying. We read this from verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, Does this offend you? Then what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. That too is a serious word. Jesus knew exactly who would believe, who would not believe, who would accept, who would not accept, who would walk with him to the end, and who would only go along for a while, who would take offense, who would stay behind. He knew everyone, and he knew everyone's beginning and end. By the grace of God, let us be among those who do not take offense in the middle of the way and fall behind, begin to grumble, take offense. That is enough. You don't need to make a U-turn. You only need to start grumbling, complaining, and the path is already set, or the course is set, and we no longer follow the Lord as we should. People who want to reach the goal must keep these things in mind. Firstly, believe every word, whether they understand it or not. They must not take offense at it. They must not grumble about it. They must move it before God and let the Spirit reveal it to them. There is no need, and I say this again, to make a U-turn and say, I'm going my way now. You begin your own path the moment you take offense, and after the offense, the grumbling begins, and after the grumbling comes one thing and then the other, and you all know what happens next. It ends in inner rebellion, in unbelief towards God and His Word. Beloved, let us take this admonition to heart. Not to grumble, not to take offense, but to believe. The disciples could not understand everything, but the 12 went at first along, and he also knew who it was who would betray him. When all the others had left him, it must have been very painful. Our Lord, the living bread that had come down from heaven, he was not just a teacher sent by God. He was the revelation of God in human form. And yet, people took offense at what he said. Now it says, from verse 66, From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Holy One of God. He did not say, We have understood everything. I could already teach it to others. He simply said the sum of it all. We have believed and recognized that thou art the Holy One of God. In other words, whether we understand it all or whether we don't, either way, he stayed where he was. He simply accepted what was said. Let us do the same. At any cost, in any situation, only in this way we can reach the goal. We too know who it is who has spoken to us. And if it had been unbelievers who had departed from him, there would have been no pain involved. But the Holy Scripture says here, from then on, many of his disciples withdrew from him. That was painful. Our Lord, who alone has words of eternal life, who alone is the life-giving bread that came from heaven, they left him. And what did they have left? Nothing at all. Whoever leaves him has nothing left, because everything else counts for nothing without him. He is the center. Everything else counts with him. Without him, nothing counts. Absolutely nothing. If I only have you, I have no desire for heaven or earth. May God bless. May he speak to us. And that we may say with Peter, Where should we go? Only you have words of eternal life. Let us now read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, from verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Here on earth, he supped with his own, and he already includes them for over there. Most people read that he will no longer drink it until up there, but here we are all included until the day when I drink it new with you. With you, not without us, with us. Praise and thanks be to our God. Without us, there is no rapture. Without us, no marriage supper. We will be there by grace. What a privilege. Here our Lord says, until when I drink it with you. This refers to the blood-bought multitude. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. And then he says, until I drink it new with you. What a privilege, already here on earth, to sup with him, and he with us. And even there, nothing will be possible without us. The church is part of it. She is his blood-bought property. And we will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the Lord's table and hold the great meal with our Lord. He says, until I have it with you. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks with you, the blood-bought multitude, with you, with whom I have made the covenant, for whom I laid down my life and shed my blood. With you, I will sup there. In Revelation chapter 19, a marvelous verse is written. Revelation 19, verse 9. And he says unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is also a marvelous word. It is connected with those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There are people who have the testimony of Jesus, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I hope you understand. We can't go into that now. I would like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the words of institution of the Lord's Supper. Here it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." The Lord's Supper is a memorial meal of the suffering and death of our Lord. He let his body be beaten and martyred. He let himself to be crucified. He shed his blood. Both were necessary because we needed redemption for both soul and body. Everything happened through the blood, and he was beaten so that we could be healed after the body. I assume that we are all believers and that we do not need to repeat the admonitions that have been given. Let each one examine himself and then eat. We examine ourselves before the face of God. Let the Spirit search our hearts. And it is important that we do not feel condemnation before God. If this is the case, then let the Lord's Supper pass you by. On this day, we don't want to ask, what will people say? What will the brother or sister think? Today, we want to ask, what does God say? We are before the face of God. Human judgments will fall back on them. God's judgment is authoritative. We read in the opening word that we have been justified by faith. Let each one examine himself, and after that let him eat of the bread and drink of the wine, as a reminder, and not only that, as a confirmation from the bottom of our hearts that we have already accepted what happened on Golgotha for ourselves personally in faith, and that we take it here in the form of bread and wine, in order to receive what happened there with his body and blood, that we have accepted it in faith. The second part is the washing of the feet. And it may of course be that this will be new to some. And you can believe me, it was new to me too when I heard it for the first time. And it wasn't quite so new to me when I heard it for the second time. And it was already well known to me when I celebrated the washing of the feet myself. I've said it here two or three times over the years. You all know, I had the great privilege of being with Brother Branham when he was alive, and I celebrated it with him in the tabernacle. And to my amazement, the foot washing took place after the Lord's Supper. I'm honest, I hadn't expected that. but I accepted it from God and haven't questioned it since. And he literally said, God has imposed three ordinances on the church: baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the foot washing. And we are to keep these three. And since then, we have started to do so, and have also had the foot washing with the Lord's Supper. But every time I say again and again, if there is someone who can't categorize everything the first time, you don't need to categorize it. You just need to categorize yourself. That's all. The Word of God is categorized. There are always so many who want to categorize the Word. I don't know why. Isn't the Word in order? We have to let ourselves to be categorized according to the Word. And then the divine order is there, right? Amen. I'm glad that the Amen does come. If it didn't come, then the Lord would be very sad. We have heard the true words of God and have neither added to them nor taken away from them. Now for those who are going to celebrate the foot washing for the first time, judge first after I have read God's word to you. It's no good before that anyway. Now I will read it. And then you can pass judgment, but not on God's word, but on you. This I want to make clear here, that when God's word is read, it is not that you can then pass judgment on God's word. Far from it. No, that you submit to the judgment of God's word. And then everything is fine. Then only one has to say, and that is God. And everyone else listens and acts accordingly. There are also too many who make a judgment about God's word. It all sounds nice, but it's not as nice as it sounds. We have to face up to the divine judgment of the word. We have to agree with God in all things and not take offense, grumble, and get behind ourselves. Anyone can do this, but not everyone does. If you want to be saved, stick to the Lord's word. And now I will read the Lord's speech to you. John 13, from verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now. Perhaps I should read from verse 5. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter says unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus says to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet.
So seid auch ihr verpflichtet, einander die Füße zu waschen.
For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Especially this verse. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I will spare myself and you the trouble of mentioning what people say on this subject, for we do not want to waste time on that. We have become indifferent to what people say, how they interpret the word, to get past it. That is not our business. Our task is to do what our Lord and Master has said. If Jesus Christ has become not only your Savior, but your Lord and Master, then show it by deed that you respect what he has said and commanded. If I then, your Lord and Master, he is both Lord and Master. He has told us and also shown us both, so that we were not left in the dark about it. Thanks be to God for that too. With these words, we come to the end. We will rise and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and faithfulness, O God. Also for this opportunity that you have given us, Lord. We are not in a position, nor are we able, O God, to thank you. But yet we thank you as we can for the example you have given us, O Lord. It was you who endured with those who were around you and with you, O God, who walked with you, with whom you supped, O God. Sup with us today. Give us grace, O Lord, that we may learn from what we do, O God. For you were the example and left it for us. So we ask you, O Lord, according to your commandment and according to your word, as you took the bread, you broke it, O God. We pray, bless it as we break it, O Lord, Jesus Christ, to the honor and praise of thy name. Amen.